At Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. CBS News has learned the execution of Saddam Hussein likely will be by this weekend. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
Saddam Hussein is still in American custody, but a U.S. military officer says that the U.S. military plans to turn him over to the Iraqis within the next 36 hours. The same officer says that he expects the Iraqis will execute him before the start of a religious holiday on Sunday, which marks the conclusion of the annual pilgrimage to Mecca.
More from CBS's Randall Pinkston in Baghdad.
There will be witnesses. Iraqis will be there, members of the coalition, presumably, of course, U.S. officials, and some international observers.
More details tonight on the CBS Evening News. President Bush met with his national security team today to talk about strategy in Iraq and briefed reporters afterward.
Got more consultation to do until I talk to the country about the plan. Obviously, we'll continue to work with the Iraqi government.
The North Carolina State Bar has filed an ethics complaint against prosecutor Mike Nifong over his handling of the Duke lacrosse sex assault case. Nifong's being accused of breaking four rules of the bar. CBS's Jim Crisula in Durham.
The complaint accuses the embattled Duke lacrosse rape case prosecutor of breaking rules of professional conduct, included in the list, making comments that, quote, have a substantial likelihood of heightening public condemnation of the accuser. The North Carolina State Bar's punishment for ethics violations ranges from admonishment to disbarment.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
It is distinct from the case itself against the Duke students, and it shouldn't by itself preclude the case from going forward. In other words, even if Nifong is found after a hearing to have violated any or all of these ethical rules, there will still be a sex assault case.
Dining on the meat of a cloned animal. Sound good to you?
No, I'm not eating no cloned animal. No, no. It's disgusting.
The company motto of Viagen, a leader in animal cloning, is preserving and multiplying superior genetics. Viagen's president, Mark Walton, agrees with the FDA that food from clones is safe. He claims this tool would even help producers of natural meats.
To grow without growth hormone, to maintain health and vigor without antibiotics.
Critics scoff, accusing the FDA of rushing to judgment in the face of widespread consumer concerns. A public comment period now begins. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now we know both new homes and existing home sales rose in November by better-than-expected numbers, and consumer confidence hit an 8-month high last month. National Association of Realtors, David Luray.
Sellers are now more flexible. They're bringing their prices down. Buyers are now nibbling. They're biting, and they're actually buying right now. They're off the sidelines.
Wall Street, the Dow lost 9 points. NASDAQ off 5 2/3. This is CBS News.
I need Cheerios and Listerine, Huggies, Pepsi, and Pantene, GE Lights, and 409. If I spill, it's Bounty time. Dollar General, that's the spot. Look at everything I got.
It's clearance days at Dollar General. Get 50% off already everyday low prices on all Christmas merchandise through January 15th. And 25% off all fall and winter clothing through January 22nd. See your circular for details. Save time, save money, every day.
Dollar General.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
The body of an American climber found in remote southwestern China is Charlie Fowler. And the indication is it was not a climbing miscue that killed him and, it's believed, Christine Boskoff. It was an avalanche.
The likelihood from the scenario is that they were walking together, especially since
they weren't roped, that there's no reason for them to be far apart, and that this avalanche most likely took both of them.
Search spokeswoman Arlene Burns says they will continue to look for Voskov's body. A 20-year-old man is in jail near San Antonio. A 16-year-old girl is dead. They were reportedly playing Russian roulette in the pre-dawn hours, one bullet in the gun. He stayed lucky. She did not. Bexar County Sheriff's deputies say there may be charges against the man and the girl's death. Like any gambling game, they say if you play long enough, you will lose. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Tax-saving tip for business owners. Consult your tax advisor to learn if your company can get a tax break when you buy an HP LaserJet printer before December 31st. It's a good time to upgrade your LaserJet printers to increase office productivity. The new LaserJets are up to twice as fast as they were 3 years ago and let you start printing almost instantly. So there's less waiting around. Black and white HP LaserJets start at $129. HP LaserJet printers, the reliable workhorse printers for business.
Estimate U.S. retail price. Actual prices may vary.
Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Ah, a yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh, Margot.
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
We have a malfunction at the junction here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peter B. Collins, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Some of my fabulous music is supposed to be playing right now, but there's some kind of a glitch in my system, so I'm going to have to fix it at the next break. We are live and on the air, unscripted, unrehearsed, as usual, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up next hour, Marcy Winograd is going to join us again. She was the unsuccessful Democratic challenger to Jane Harman in the Democratic primary on June 6th, and she's going to join us today because she wrote a powerful letter to California's Senator Barbara Boxer regarding Boxer's plan to go to Connecticut and campaign for Senator Joe Lieberman, the embattled incumbent, nominally a Democrat. And there was a great broadcast debate between Ned Lamont, the progressive challenger, and Senator Lieberman that was widely broadcast yesterday. We'll be talking with Marcy Winograd in about an hour and see if there's a way that we can persuade Senator Boxer to change her plans about campaigning in Connecticut this summer. Also on the program today, the man who developed the concept Shock and Awe is a little shocked and not so awed at the way it has been used. Harlan Ullman has written a new book called America's Promise Restored. It is a sharp critique of our government, including the current administration, and it has some powerful prescriptions on how we can change things for the future. Our weekly visit with California's budget chair in the State Assembly, John Laird, he'll be with us. We're going to talk about the prison system in California. Governor Schwarzenegger acknowledging the crisis, calling a special session of the legislature, and we'll be talking about those issues with the Assemblyman. Also, Brad Friedman, our go-to guy on election issues, he'll be joining us as usual in our final hour here today. We're going to talk about the hand count that has been requested in the disputed election in San Diego, that's California District 50. Brian Bilbray was named the winner. The vote tally the day after the election, about 4,700. Ultimately, they said it was about 7,000. But as Brad has been telling us, and he alerted the media, even Lou Dobbs picked up on it, there are serious security flaws in the process that was used in San Diego. And now a voter, interestingly enough, a Republican voter who supports the man who won, has called for this hand count. So we'll get the lowdown on that from Brad. And also, we're hoping for a live report on the conflicted and now contested election for president of Mexico, which apparently has been wrapped up, not certified, but they have named Calderon, the conservative, the winner. And there are many concerns that this will produce street actions and general unrest in Mexico. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're always welcome to join us on the phone, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We originate in the San Francisco Bay Area from the secret Peter B. Collins studio location, and we have maximum capacity today. Two gentlemen who we have talked to on this program before are in the San Francisco area for a special event tonight that we'll tell you about. Dar Jamail is a journalist who has made trips to Iraq and writes, important and rather potent pieces about our ongoing illegal occupation of that country. And you can find his work at darjamailiraq.com. We'll spell that for you in a little while. Dar, nice to see you face to face.
Thanks, Peter. Likewise.
Nice to have you in the Bay Area, too. And we'll tell people about this event that you and our next guest are participating in San Francisco tonight. Mark Manning went to Fallujah and embedded himself with the citizens who live there. And he produced the powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire. He surfed up the coast from Santa Barbara today to join us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks.
Nice to see you both. Well, let me just toss this out first and foremost before we get into the topics that I want to discuss. Let me ask each of you just to mention for a moment what you think is of greatest concern regarding our occupation of Iraq at the present juncture. Dar, you first.
Well, I think for me that hasn't changed. The greatest concern is what the occupation is doing to the life of the ordinary Iraqi, where right now infrastructure is completely devastated. The average house has far less than 3 hours of electricity per day. Potable water is in short supply. The health system is almost completely destroyed. Unemployment is rampant, and the security situation, that's probably the thing I need to say the least about, that it's just absolutely horrendous to live in Baghdad, and now more people are trying to leave. Anyone that can is trying to leave the country. There's over 1 million people displaced within their own country, which is something that Mark can talk about at length as well. But really, just average life for the Iraqi people now is a thing of the past.
What about the freedom? What about this fledgling democracy that Bush has thrust upon them?
Well, that's why I have job security, because as long as these lies keep coming out of the Bush administration, I've always got stuff to write about. It's needless to say, as you well know, it's absolute lies, total hogwash, because this occupation, the invasion and occupation, have done nothing but bring death and suffering to the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm. Mark Mann?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the most important story that's happening in Iraq right now is just the immense suffering of the Iraqi people as a direct result of our policy there. The lack of care of our administration's policy in Iraq for the welfare of the human beings in Iraq is widespread, it's rampant, and it's having a devastating effect on the civilians in Iraq. And I think that's a story that has to get out. It's not getting out to the American people. The level of suffering of the Iraqis is blacked out here, and we have a duty and a responsibility, I think, as American citizens to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing that could happen right now, is the stories of the Iraqi people getting to the American people.
Well, and you as an independent filmmaker, Mark, and you as a journalist, Dar, you have to be chagrined that your overpaid counterparts in the corporate media are essentially rewriting press releases in the air-conditioned green zone. And it's not a total slap at them. It's not safe or, wise in many cases for them to resume a traditional role of a beat reporter and go out and find the news. But the bottom line is that the American public is getting a very sanitized version of the war. And a piece you wrote recently about the spinmeister, a guy named Snow, Colonel Jeffrey Snow, he seems to be well aware of the doublespeak that he's offering. Because on the one hand, he has to accurately reflect the total number of Iraqis who were killed yesterday, kidnapped, found beheaded in the Tigris. And on the other hand, he has to spin for his government.
Right, and this is an individual in the U.S. military basically speaking on behalf of the U.S. military, trying to paint once again a happy face on the disaster that the occupation is, and even admitting to journalists that he is, well, this does sound like doublespeak, and it may well be, but basically even though attacks are up against my personal unit, they're not quite as effective as the attacks have been in the past. So this kind of thing coming out to where really it's basically impossible for them to take this catastrophic situation and paint it in a different color, and they continue to try and continually shoot themselves in the foot in so doing.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Manning, when you first released Caught in the Crossfire, your documentary, you came on the program, and I was so impressed with you, I asked you back just a few days later. We don't usually do that. But you really offered some ahas, and one that has stuck with me is that you related that in Fallujah, during the assault in the fall of 2004, that you were hunkered down there with Iraqis, and at one point you told a little story about you were there with a family, and you asked about Zarqawi, and a father pointed at his toddler son and said, oh, that's Zarqawi. Talk a little bit about the mythology that was created around this man and what you sense to be the truth about him.
Yeah, it was an interesting phenomenon when I got into Fallujah, and Zarqawi supposedly had taken over Fallujah. And then I found that the Fallujians didn't know anything about Zarqawi, had never seen him, never heard of him. And they were telling me that this was a tool of the American machine, that they create this myth, they create this villain, and then they put him in places that they want to go into. So when I went into a city that supposedly has been taken over by Zarqawi, and the people there had said they'd never seen him, he'd never been there, it was a pretty eye-opening experience for me. It was a joke for them. And when I was actually in Fallujah, in the city itself, I witnessed some of that when the American policymakers announced that Zarqawi had returned to Fallujah after the siege.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they've been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. So I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling.
Yes, there they are, the All Bleep Singers. With our thanks to the Federal Communications Commission for making this broadcast safe enough for you to listen to today, I'm Peter B. Collins. In the studio with me, Dar Jamail and Mark Manning. Both have been to Iraq and have brought back very powerful messages. Dar Jamail writes at truthout.org, and he has his own website at darjamailiraq.com, and it's J-A-M-A-I-L, darjamailiraq.com. And Mark Manning produced Caught in the Crossfire, and that is a powerful documentary that really gave us a perspective on the siege of Fallujah from the point of view of its former residents, or I guess some of them are still there, Mark?
Some of them have come back, yeah.
Yeah. And if you want more information on that and you can't attend the event in San Francisco tonight, we understand, you can go to conceptionmedia.net, conceptionmedia.net. And we'll repeat that information for you again a little bit later in the hour. Now, gentlemen, just before the break, we were talking about the extent to which al-Zarqawi had been mythologized. And, Dar, you've also written that the fact that we killed him has been trumpeted in the Western media as a turning point, number 942 for the wishful thinkers of the Project for a New American Century, for example. But, in fact, al-Qaeda has dispatched an Egyptian, a trusted aide of al-Zawahiri, who we suspect is much more of a loyal lieutenant than Zarqawi ever was.
Right, and that part seems to be true, but really, again, talking with this at length just last week with Loretta Napoleoni, who's an expert on this topic of financing terrorism and these groups that are operating in Iraq. And I should add that this is, we're talking about, even according to the U.S. military, less than 6% of all the attacks being launched against the United States and Iraq are coming from these foreign terrorist groups. But it is clear that this individual is a more trusted person within al-Qaeda, but it also should be noted that, again, it's not an Iraqi man. So, again, the odds of him getting along with members of the actual Iraqi resistance is very, very low. In fact, I wouldn't count on it at all.
What's interesting, too, is that his name is al-Masri, and there is a man with the same surname, a German citizen, who was rendered, as we call it, the extraordinary rendition. He was picked up in Macedonia. I believe he was shipped to Afghanistan, where he claims he was tortured. And then after they finally accepted that he was not a terrorist and possibly, you know, had mixed him up with this new al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, they just dropped him back off on the road in Macedonia, where they picked him up. And inconveniently, he went public with his charges while Condoleezza Rice was doing the Ricepalooza torture tour of Europe last fall, reassuring our allies, And, of course, at the same time, the Italian government went public with the issues related to a snatch on the streets of Milan. And, well, the U.S. just keeps on lying about that stuff. Mark Manning, what's your take on the Zarqawi situation and this new al-Masri fellow? Do you have anything to add on that?
Just that, you know, if Zarqawi was who our administration said he was, and not just a propaganda ploy to pull out of the box when you need some help in your polls, then why kill him? He wasn't surrounded by any kind of a force. If he really was the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq and he wasn't surrounded by a force, you wouldn't want to grab him as an intelligence asset. So killing him pretty much states the fact that he was just a propaganda tool and they needed to pull out something for Bush's poll ratings.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious.
And, Dar, you recently wrote, again quoting Ms. Napoleoni, the Italian journalist economist, the majority of the suicide missions are carried out by non-Iraqis. There are lots of people coming from the Gulf. There's a jihadist website that lists the names of the martyrs, and you can see that they come from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and from the Emirates. This is the majority of the suicide missions. Some people even come from Syria and Jordan, but the vast majority come from the Gulf.
Right, and I think that's an important thing to point out because we have the Bush administration that continues to saber-rattle at places like Syria and Iran, quit, stop, you know, like Rumsfeld saying, Syria, you must quit these or stop these terrorists coming through your soil into Iraq and helping the resistance, and the same type of rhetoric waged against Iran. And the reality is it's the supposed friends of the United States, places like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, where they're coming from.
That's Dar Jamail along with Mark Manning. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll go to the phone. phones, 888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, 33 minutes past the hour. We're talking with two people who know a lot about the situation in Iraq. Filmmaker Mark Manning, whose powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire is available on the web at conceptionmedia.net. And Dar Jamail, the journalist who has been on our program on a regular basis. You can find his work at truthout.org or at his website, darjamailiraq.com.
You're unbelievable.
Now, Speaking of unbelievable, I don't know how much you followed the debate in the United States Senate, where John Kerry is finally showing some courage and leadership. Not enough for me, but I have to acknowledge that it's better than it used to be. And he put out a resolution to set a date certain to withdraw from Iraq. First time got 6 votes, and that was with a 12/31/06 deadline. Then came back a week later, almost, and got 13 votes for a resolution that said July 1st, 2007 as the pullout date. Then there was the non-binding, undated Levin resolution that said, you know, it's time for a change and hope the White House will get the message without actually formally setting a withdrawal date. And it's interesting because 39 senators supported that resolution. But the debate that occurred was so jaundiced because it was dominated by the Republicans, who were busy using the market-tested cut-and-run phrase as often as possible, questioning the patriotism of those who would suggest that it's time for us to get out of Iraq. And then, of course, 3 days later, we have generals coming on television on Sunday, General Casey, saying, I think we might be able to pull some troops out this year. So there's kind of a whiplash going on in terms of U.S. policy. And, Mark, you were asking before we went on the air today about Rick Santorum's contribution to that debate, which was to momentarily claim that he had found, or somebody had found, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, a report that was immediately discredited. So my point is that we have a huge disconnect. And these are non-parallel universes where the debate in Washington is so detached from what's really going on the ground in Iraq. And, Mark, you said that citizens of Fallujah asked you to communicate some key points, some messages to the American people. What are they?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal experience having lived with these people. Now, I went back into the city with them after their city had been destroyed. I mean, completely destroyed by America, really. There's no other way to say it. And their family members killed, their lives destroyed. It was horrific. And they wanted me to bring the message of what happened to them back to the American people. They knew, for one, that we weren't being told the truth here. And unbelievably to me at the time, that the level of compassion, they believed in the American people. And they believed that if they knew, if the American people knew what was actually happening to the people in Iraq, we wouldn't support it. So they had an unbelievable amount of trust and really respect for the American people. I have to say that that's not going to last forever. You know, now I'm in contact with them on really pretty much a daily basis. And they're beginning now to ask me, okay, where are the American people, you know? But for our country, after 9/11, to respond with such hatred, really, against a whole race of people, to come to Fallujah and to find much worse damage than 9/11, and to find the people there saying, hey, we believe in the American people. Go tell them what's happening. They're our brothers and sisters. And that's the reason I'm really motivated to continue this work, because I see an obvious way to peace, and it's the connection between the American people and the Iraqi people. And when you're talking about these government debates, these are men and women that have no family in the military. They've never been on the ground in Iraq, unless they've been in the green zone, in some air-conditioned military base. They don't have any connection with the Iraqi people. They haven't seen the suffering. They don't know what they're talking about. Yet they're the ones that are making these decisions. So I think it is up to the American people to stand up and demand the truth out of Iraq so we can start to make informed decisions and to know that the people there are waiting for us to do that.
Dar Jamil?
Yeah, I can't really think of a more powerful message other than to see the suffering in Iraq and have these people basically requesting personally for people like Mark and myself to come back here and please just tell people what's really happening so that they can force their government to do the right thing. They're acutely aware of the fact that our government here is kind of a joke at this point as far as really being representative of the people, and they're acutely aware too, like so many people here in the anti-war movement, that drastic changes are on the table. It's time for people to start taking some risks and doing some things to really force the government to abide by the will, which the vast majority of the people here now do favor, withdrawal from Iraq. And it's time for people to start getting active and doing what they can to try to make that happen.
If you'd like to talk with our guests, they're here for the rest of this hour. 831-899-5792 is a number on the Central Coast, a local call. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Alice in Humboldt, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Dar and Mark.
Hello.
I hear all the time, even from good Democrats, things like, we're just going to have to let the Iraqis know that they are going to have to take over their own security, that we can't be there forever. They say this like the people want us there. I believe this is most misleading.
Okay. Mark, you first.
Well, you know, it's a lot of our administration uses terminology trying to portray the Iraqi people's children. It's very arrogant. It's condescending. I believe it's racist. I think part of the reason there's no security in Iraq, or the only reason, is because we destroyed it. And the Iraqi people say, if you just leave, we'll fix it. So I think we've proven we're incompetent to solve the problem of Iraq, the problem that we created. And it's time for us to admit that and let the Iraqi people decide what they want. I think they've spoken in these polls. They want us to leave.
Dar?
Well, and I would answer that by seconding what Mark said and adding that I've talked with Iraqi policemen directly who have said, you know, we do want to take control of the security situation, but the Americans won't let us. They won't give us the weapons we need. They won't give us the equipment we need. They're not paying us enough. They come in and occupy our various police stations anytime they want, which shatters any legitimacy that they may have in the neighborhoods where they're trying to work. So they simply lack the respect they need to carry out their jobs as security officers because their country's being occupied.
Alice, anything you want to add?
Oh, that was good. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call. Now, in addition to what you described, Dar, we have this ongoing string of reports of U.S. troops committing atrocities. We have a rape case now. We have the Haditha case, Hamdaniya. Add to that Abu Ghraib. And we have now a very tragic legacy that really rivals Saddam Hussein in many respects. And, you know, Bush still talks about killing fields and some of the gross things attributed to Saddam, which I don't diminish in any respect. But we really have, in any competitive sense, outpaced what he attempted to do.
Right. I mean, maybe the 944th or 945th turning point will be yet another Saddam mass grave, you know, turning up another 30 bodies or something. But if we just look, if we're going to use their rhetoric, if we just look at the number of people killed, Saddam Hussein, the most often quoted figure is that he killed around 300,000 people during his reign as dictator. So in 30 years, he killed 300,000 people. Well, in less than 4 years of occupation, the United States has killed over 100,000 Iraqis, according to the Lancet report, a report published in the most prestigious British medical journal around, and that number is now grossly out of date. It's probably more like 200,000, or possibly as high as already 300,000 dead Iraqis. So we've done that in one-tenth the time that it took Saddam Hussein to do it. So if this administration is going to use Saddam Hussein as a yardstick, well, they're not even measuring up to Saddam Hussein by their own yardstick. We talk about Abu Ghraib. They're doing worse things in Abu Ghraib than Saddam Hussein did, raping people there by U.S. soldiers. I really can't think of a more culturally humiliating thing to have broadcast around the Middle East than that. I mean, rape is, of course, an atrocity in any culture, but over there especially, I really can't underestimate the fact how big of a negative impact that's having right now.
Well, and one of the oversight committees run by Congressman Davis of Virginia issued a subpoena last Friday to Donald Rumsfeld to produce documents and information related to alleged events at Abu Ghraib, where family members of detainees were brought in and either threatened or tortured in front of the detainee in order to get that person to talk. And it's been 3 months since they asked for the information, and it's been silence from the Pentagon. So Republicans actually got up the nerve on a day before a long weekend when nobody was paying attention to issue a subpoena, and these are just more grisly details that will be coming forward. Mark, are there any other issues related to the U.S. occupation that might not be front and center? We know about all these recent reports of misdeeds by U.S. troops. We know about a lot of the failed reconstruction efforts and the corruption of the contractors that were handpicked, often on a no-bid basis. But is there anything else that you want to mention that's kind of escaped notice?
Yeah, sometimes the obvious does, and I think from day one, we said that we don't count Iraqi deaths. That was before we even really went in there. And really what that translates to is Iraqi deaths don't count. And when we started the war with shock and awe, you know, where was the reporting of civilian deaths? It just wasn't an issue. And
well, you forget, that was a video game. There are actually no casualties in a video game.
It was watched like a video game. And from the beginning of that war, we did not consider civilians. And I think just the disrespect for the lives of Iraqis, it was from day one, and it was a product of this administration's callousness and disrespect for human life. And the direct result is all these things that are happening now. Of course, when you put troops on three tours of duty in a place where the civilians hate you, things are going to happen. And the individual troops should be prosecuted, but the military shouldn't be held accountable. This is a direct result of our leader, George Bush, and his incapacity, I think, to lead this nation, and it's coming clean in Iraq and this total destruction of a country.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk more with these gentlemen, Mark Manning and Dar Jamail. If you have a question or comment, this is your chance to get through. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. And as we continue, I want to get their thoughts on the new hand-picked prime minister of Iraq. Is he a U.S. puppet, or will he display some independence? We'll talk about al-Maliki coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember...
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza. behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
That was a powerful, vital, influential, often frustrated, but no denying its existence and its power movement that there isn't any of that I can see right now, except for a few dedicated individuals. There's just, and it's that's the public's failure. The anti-war movement has to come out of public discontent. There just isn't enough to fuel the movement.
Well, I understand your point, and I appreciate that you do put some of the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of our fellow citizens. Because, John, you and I have found the information. Dar writes, you publish three times a week?
Usually two or three.
Two or three. His information is readily available. So far, they have not tried to stop you from showing your documentary under the state secret privilege, but that could happen. And my point is that the information is available, and people choose to focus on American Idol and, Paris Hilton's navel ring or latest boyfriend, what she's driving, who she hit. And, we have a public that really is not living up to its civic responsibilities. Only 30% of voters turned out for the California primary, and you may be tired of hearing me say this, but I couldn't believe it. Only 3.5% showed up for the contested Senate primary in Virginia. And if that's, the level of crisis felt by the average American, we're in really bad shape.
Well, also regarding torture, which you would think, because for me, that just says we're really different as a society and especially as a government over anything in the past, because I do not remember any event, all of Vietnam, all those 10, 12, whatever years you want to delineate that conflict to, I don't remember the subject even coming up, let alone an issue of Guantanamo and all these other gulags or whatever we've gotten in the east of the former Iron Curtain or whatever is going on besides, because obviously there must be a lot more than Guantanamo, and that's bad enough. That should have inflamed the public because of the threat to them, to the threat to our rights. There's something radically wrong with our leadership that would even consider doing these things.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that the Supreme Court ruled against the president and declared Guantanamo and the terms of detention there illegal. But he's unscathed. He's still in office.
And
the Democrats haven't tried to censure him over this even. I mean, they are simply so cowed by this administration that it's tragic for all of us. John, thanks for the call today.
Okay,
I really appreciate
you.
It. Next, I want to turn to your sense of this new prime minister, al-Maliki. There was, of course, this protracted debate inside the newly formed Iraqi government. It took them 4 months, and finally they kicked out Jafari. And am I right, Jafari?
Jafari. Right.
Okay, thank you. And this guy kind of materialized. We don't think he came from Langley, the CIA headquarters. But is he a full-fledged American puppet, or does he have some rope on his marionette strings? He has at least spoken up occasionally about a vague desire for the U.S. to leave, and he's been a little more explicit about the rape case and some of the other soldier atrocities.
Right. On this recent issue, particularly the rape case by the U.S. soldier against the young Iraqi woman, he's been outspoken, I think, primarily because there's so much outrage in Iraq that if he doesn't take a strong position on that, he'll lose what's left of his credibility. But if we're going to talk about Maliki, we need to first start with the fact that he was inserted as prime minister in replace of Jafari, who was pushed out after Rice and Jack Straw from the UK went to Baghdad and basically pushed him out so that Maliki could come in.
That's democracy in action. I love it.
Right. So much for the spreading democracy in Iraq, where they'll have elections, but if the U.S. and the U.K. don't like the person that government then brings in as prime minister, i.e. Jafari, then he's going to be replaced with a man who won't talk about timetables for withdrawal and a man who will be open to the privatization of Iraq's oil.
Yesterday, in a debate in Connecticut, Senator Lieberman, who's under serious attack politically for his future in the Senate, Ned Lamont is the progressive challenger. Lieberman repeated a Bush talking point that two-thirds of the Iraqi police and military are trained now and ready for action. Now, that number has been fluctuating wildly from 3% to, you know, recent claims by Bush and cronies in the 50 to 60% range. But Dar, talk about the composition of the police force and the so-called army and what it really means, because we talk about them standing up so that we can stand down, but they're going to be standing up for militias, for religious groups, for ethnic factions in the country, not for any sense of a unity government or the kind of culture that we project here in America.
That's right. And first, I want to preface this with saying that whether it's 50% or two-thirds that the people in the Bush administration are claiming is the number of the Iraqi police or Iraqi security that's actually able to stand up on their own at this point, I think they're just pulling those figures from their backside, because even generals in the U.S. military are saying that they have less than one Iraqi army battalion capable of fighting on its own at this point. And it's primarily because exactly what you said, that we have a Iraqi police and military that are comprised primarily of militia members and heavily, heavily infiltrated by the Iraqi resistance. One of the women that's going to be at our event tonight, Nadia McCaffrey, who was recently on the front page of San Francisco Chronicle and CNN and go on down the line of major media outlets, because she lost her son in Iraq, and she recently found out that when he was initially claimed to have been killed by a sniper in Iraq by the U.S. military, it turns out he was killed by some of these Iraqi security forces that he was supposedly training, and he was trying to train them. And that is what we're looking at now when we talk about the Iraqi security forces. They're not loyal to the Iraqi government. They're not certainly not loyal to the American government. They're loyal to whatever militia put them in or whatever armed resistance group is paying their paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add there, Mark?
No, I think you guys covered that one pretty well.
Okay, good. Just about a minute remaining. I want to remind people the Road to Fallujah is an event that Dar Jamail and Mark Manning will be speaking at tonight. It's 7 p.m., the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco, 2789 24th Street, and you are invited to attend. And again, conceptionmedia.net is where you can get more information on Mark Manning's documentary, Caught in the Crossfire. Dar Jamail, Iraq. I'm going to spell that one more time. DarJamail.com is the website where you can read his work. Well, gentlemen, I just want to thank you for the work that you do. It means a lot to us to be able to call you up, get you on the air, and share your views and the reporting that you've done. Dar, I want to wish you the best on your summer vacation at Club Med in Syria. You're leaving on Tuesday?
I am.
All right. Well, email us. We don't have a budget for those long international satellite phone calls, but do stay in touch with us, and I hope you have a safe trip there and come back with more stories to tell us.
Will do. Thanks very much.
And, Mark, is there another film in your future?
Yeah, we're actually in production on a documentary film called The Road to Fallujah. We'll be talking about that tonight. You can read about that on our site. And also a film called American Voices, which deals with that man from Carmel Valley was talking about the American people and their... It's time.
Mark Manning, Dar Jamil, thank you very much. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The former dictator of Iraq awaits his fate.
The end before Saddam Hussein could come any day now.
And what will be the future strategy for Iraq? We don't know yet.
We're making good progress toward coming up with a plan that we think will help us achieve our objective.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Saddam Hussein still awaits execution. The Bush administration said to be preparing for the possibility the execution will occur as early as this weekend. A U.S. military officer tells CBS News Saddam will be turned over to the Iraqis within the next 36 hours. After that, it's anyone's guess. Here's CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
It may even be possible that the United States forces will not even be privy to the exact timing of the actual execution, though certainly they'll know it will happen in a few hours once the transfer of custody occurs.
CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston in Baghdad tells us the execution will be videotaped and documented in other ways.
There will be witnesses. Iraqis will be there, members of the coalition, presumably, of course, U.S. officials, and some international observers. Again, because of the secrecy surrounding the exact date of the execution, we're not being told who these witnesses will be.
Security will be very tight for the execution, but U.S. troops may not be as visible. They may instead pull back to act as quick reaction forces if needed, much as they do during elections in Iraq. President Bush and his advisors are huddled at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, coming up with a new strategy on Iraq, but he wants more time. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is there.
After 3 hours of talks with his top national security advisors, President Bush said they're making good progress on drafting a new strategy for Iraq. But there'll be no change in his principal objective, victory.
It's important for the American people to understand. Success in Iraq is vital for our own security. If we were to not succeed in Iraq, the enemy, the extremists, the radicals would have safe haven from which to launch further attacks.
Much to the dismay of some in Congress, one option Mr. Bush is considering calls for sending more troops to Iraq. He still plans to unveil the new strategy next month. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Crawford, Texas.
Now this.
Hello, I'm George. Every year about this time, my wife gets concerned about my rowdy and crazy behavior. I can't help it. Happy Honda Days gets me all giggly and rambunctious. Hee-hee. Hurry to your Honda dealer today and get an awesome deal on the 8-passenger Pilot, the ultra-functional Element, or the innovative Ridgeline. Yeah, baby. Happy Honda Days. It's going off, dude. Seriously.
Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Ah, a yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh,
Margot.
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
Some financial markets will be closed Tuesday to mark the funeral of former President Gerald Ford.
This is John Hartshey in Washington. President Bush has designated Tuesday, January 2nd, as the National Day of Mourning in honor and tribute to the memory of Gerald Ford. Mr. Bush will be back in the Capitol from his Texas holiday and will speak at the funeral service at the National Cathedral that day. His order declares that all executive departments and other government agencies be closed on Tuesday as a mark of respect for President Ford.
The storm's not even there yet, but Denver authorities are already canceling flights. Air passengers rushed to the airport early to avoid a repeat of last week when thousands of people were stranded. Chuck Cannon is an airport spokesman.
People are getting here well in advance of the storm. They want to make sure that they have plenty of time. And so the lines, some of the airline check-in lines are probably 2 and 3 hours long.
And the frustration level was high.
Here 4 hours early. I have a ticket. I should be able to get in the line and get on my plane. These people, they don't know what they're doing.
The Denver area could get 18 inches of snow, and already 180 flights have been canceled. The airport has brought in additional cots and blankets. 4,700 travelers were stranded at the airport for 2 days last week. In New Orleans, a grand jury has indicted 7 police officers in the shooting deaths of 2 young men 6 days after Hurricane Katrina. They were shot on a bridge in the chaos after the storm. The circumstances were always unclear. 4 of the officers have been charged with first-degree murder and 3 others with attempted murder. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Coffee?
Thanks.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and French vanilla, mocha, and hazelnut. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
I'm ready for takeoff. Ah, smell that luscious vanilla air. Wow, I'm good. I could do this on one ski. I am on one ski. Shimmering vanilla moguls beckon. I see gold medals in...
Miss, please, sit down. The captain has turned on the seatbelt sign.
Oh, sure. Right.
New Splenda, flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at vanillaflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
The North Carolina.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Our quadracast is underway in Monterey, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Eureka. And joining me this hour is the author of a powerful new book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. He's Dr. Robin Myers. Thanks to Joan Osborne. I think it's a great song to imagine if God were one of us. The Reverend Robin Myers, the pastor of the Mayflower UCC Church in Oklahoma City. He's visited on our program before, and I have had the pleasure of knowing him for 6 or 7 years now. I met him through a program that I used to produce called Interfaith Voices that airs on public radio stations. And it's been part of my quest for a few years now to find a way to get Dr. Myers in touch with a wider audience, because I believe that he has a lot of powerful ideas that need to be heard by mainstream Americans and provide an important balance or counter to religious fundamentalism in our country. With that said, Robin Myers, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back.
And congratulations on the new book.
Thank you, sir.
I know you've been working very hard on this, and it's now out, and it's time for you to talk about it. It's called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And this came out of a somewhat impromptu speech that you gave, and this book is really an annotated expansion on the thoughts you expressed at an anti-war rally in Oklahoma just a few years ago.
That's right. Of all places, Oklahoma, one of the reddest of the states, I got invited to give my opinion on whether the Bush administration were the guardians of Christian moral values in our time, and I don't think they are, and also to express my opinion on the war in Iraq, which I opposed from my pulpit and in newspaper columns for a long time before the war ever started. And I simply put down a brief speech to give to OU students one night, and we had a candlelight vigil afterwards, and a couple of students came up and asked for a copy of the speech, and they went home and transcribed it and started sending it out. And before you knew it, it had become this Internet phenomenon, and I was getting hundreds of emails from all over the country and around the world from people who said, this is exactly how I've been feeling. This is exactly what I needed someone to help me say or to express. And then a literary agent called from New York City and said, they're talking about this speech in New York, every place I go to a party, and you need to expand it into a book. So I had no plans to write this book. This book was not proposed by me, but sort of demanded of me, which is a whole different experience for me. It's just been really incredible, and the book, you know, is just out there all over the place, and my life has kind of changed because of it. And I'm going on a book tour this summer, going to go all over the country, so it's going to be really exciting, and I hope I can get some people thinking in new ways.
Yeah. Radio is nonlinear, so if you don't mind, I want to jump around the book during this hour. I want to invite people to call and offer your comments to Dr. Myers at any moment. 831-899-5792 is our line on the Central Coast, and you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And they sent me an extra copy of the hardcover edition of the book, so it goes to the fourth caller who checks in this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Myers, I was struck by so much in your book. I have pages bent back, marginal notes. I took it on a plane ride, and it just hit me in so many ways. We could probably talk for 4 or 5 hours. But I want to go straight to the F-bomb. And this is not Dick Cheney's F-bomb. This is a very important word, and its usage is something that is delicate but yet warranted, in my view, in this era. And that F-word is fascism.
Uh-huh.
And you write in Chapter 10, one of the most controversial columns I've ever written for the Oklahoma Gazette was titled Using the F-Word. It was an attempt to get readers to understand that fascism is not solely reserved for goose-stepping, jackbooted Nazis. There is a Christian fascism on the rise in America, and the signs are unmistakable. What are those signs, Robin Myers?
Well, there, of course, I list in the book the 14 characteristics of fascism that a political scientist named Lawrence Britt recently wrote about. And when you hear them read, you realize every single one of them are evident and ascendant in the country. They are powerful and continuing nationalism, disdain for the recognition of human rights.
Gitmo?
Uh-huh. Identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause, terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, supremacy of the military.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number 5, rampant sexism. Number 6, controlled mass media, like, oh, say, Fox News.
Yeah.
Number 7, obsession with national security, duh.
Yep.
Number 8, religion and government intertwined. That does not need comment. Number 9, protection of corporate power. Number 10, suppression of labor power.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts.
Yeah, they use fuzzy math.
fuzzy math. And what do they produce, really? They don't make anything. So it's just all aesthetics, and you can't really cash that in. But what can you do with a painting, actually?
Right, and it's number all that 12. Fake science of global warming, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. That would be you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. And number 14, and the last one, fraudulent elections.
Wow, now, we've got a dead match.
All of it. Every single thing that this political scientist says represents fascism in any country at any time are all evident in this country now. And I know that word's offensive to people, but it has to be said because there is a Christian fascism on the rise in America.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people like James Dobson saying things like the judiciary are vermin in black robes. The Da Vinci Code is a demonic plot. Pat Robertson advocates the assassination of Hugo Chavez. Jerry Falwell, who knows what he said.
Jimmy Swaggart. He blamed gays and the ACLU for 9/11.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Swaggart said if a gay man looks at him a certain way, he'll kill him and tell people God did it.
And let's not leave out Fred Phelps. We've talked about him before. He's the Neanderthal from Topeka, Kansas, who runs the website GodHatesFags.something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's been showing up at military funerals with the incredible at a time when, of course, families are grieving, to hold up placards that indicate that the reason they died and that America is losing the war in Iraq is that we have tolerated too much homosexuality. Fred Phelps is a sad, sad man, sick man.
Indeed. So what is your proposal, first of all, to alert people to creeping fascism? As you pointed out, it's a term that many people cannot accept as a definition of the United States under any circumstances.
Well, no, because all they think about is Nazi Germany. And if that is their only model, then they're handicapped. But the central definition of fascism is corporate control. That is control by big business, which is in collusion with government and then seeks the blessing of the church. That's the real definition of fascism. All those other things are interesting. But clearly we have a situation in which we have a CEO as President of the United States, and that CEO thinks of the world in entitlement ways. He thinks that riches are he deserves them. And that laws are for him to break if it's the right thing to do, and that he is the true patriot and the true Christian. And it's just a kind of insular thinking that really all tyrants have manifested in all time. And I just want people to wake up. I am as big a patriot as they come, Peter. I mean, I sing America the Beautiful, and it's impossible for me not to get teary-eyed every single time. This country has stood for some tremendous things, but we have lost our soul, and we have got to get it back. And that the first thing is people just have to wake up and say, you know, I've been asleep for a long time. I've been watching Fox News. I've been just entertaining myself, and I've been believing the lies that have been told to me. And the fact of the matter is we are in a hell of a mess.
Well, we certainly are. We'll pick up there as we continue with Dr. Robin Myers. The new book is called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. If you have a question or comment, get on the line right now, 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. Or toll-free, 888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk, uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
Hello. I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Looking at Gilroy, we do have a three-vehicle accident southbound 101 at 10th Street. All three vehicles involved in this accident have been cleared over to the right-hand shoulder, so CHP is en route to take a report. San Juan Batista eastbound 156 after Breen Road. We have an overturned SUV, and it actually overturned off the roadway and landed in a field on the shoulder, so CHP is on scene working on clearing that out. We also have a tow truck on the way. Be aware of some long-term road work. Santa Cruz northbound Highway 1. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is actually closed for long-term road work. This is actually scheduled to continue through December of next year. Monterey Cannery Road between David Avenue and Prescott Avenue. We have some construction going on. New hotel actually being built, and the area is closed to through traffic, so be aware of that as well. This report is brought to you by your Walmart store. Don't forget to be bright with your Walmart holiday gift cards. Bring them in today and cash in on low prices throughout the store. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, that's one image of God. From the late, great, crazy world of Arthur Brown, circa 1968. And we're stuck with fire and brimstone here today. We're talking about the new book by Dr. Robin Myers, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And Dr. Myers, as I read your book, I noted some repeated references to the strong father figure as you described some of the nuances and the structure, I guess, the internal structure of the religious right. And it's interesting because it parallels the work of George Lakoff, the UC Berkeley professor of linguistics, who has been trying to educate the left on the use of language and framing. Talk about how you view the strong father and how it infiltrates the work of the religious right.
I actually borrowed, cited George Lakoff directly in explaining the Republican Party's approach to governing and to their religious sensibilities are like what Lakoff calls the strict father morality.
Mm-hmm.
There is it's a patriarchal worldview. The father is in control. The last thing that you want to do is be too nurturing or too forgiving or too patient or too compassionate with your children, because obviously that will spoil them. And if you spoil, you know, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. They have the same view of government's relationship to people. If we help them too much, we will spoil them. And they have the same theology of God. God is this kind of lawgiver and judge. And if you're a good little boy or girl, you'll get rewarded. But if you're bad, you'll get punished. And you're never going to get indulged, forgiven, coddled, loved or nurtured, because that's what he says Democrats are, the nurturant parent model. And we live in a time when it is much easier for the media to capitalize on models based on fear. So the strict father morality, whether it's in government policy or in theology, works well for our time. After 9/11, all you got to do is say to people that there are people out there that are going to hurt us, and we need to be tough, and that sells better on TV than let's talk. Let's try to understand each other. Let's do cross-cultural exchanges. Let's do diplomacy. So it's really two very different worldviews. The Republicans have cashed in on this very nicely, and the Democrats have not learned how to put their program into action.
Yeah. And this is hard for many progressives to detect, because we can't imagine, idealizing George W. Bush as a father figure.
Well, no.
He can't even pronounce nuclear right.
No, and the sad truth about the president is that he is an unrecovered alcoholic. He is drinking. He has a habit of flipping people off. He's been caught doing that a few times on camera. Most of the time he's careful about it. But remember, this is from the savior of Western civilization. This is from the moral exemplar, the person who is going to restore integrity to the White House. And it's a sad, sad, sad situation.
Billy joins us from Capitola. Hello, Billy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm giving you a copy of Dr. Meyer's book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to reading it, although I could have written it. In fact, you know, just yesterday I was trying to convince a friend of mine that we should write a book together, and I was telling him if we can just come up with the right title, we got a bestseller. And the one title that I didn't mention to him, because I was so sure it had already been used, was Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It just seemed like it was inevitable. But here's what the next line needs to be. Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and why we'll never beat them. And here's why we'll never beat them. Somehow, not only is the Christian Right wrong, but they're also the biggest, they're the greediest people on earth and the most hypocritical people on earth. What is it about being a Christian like, well, Tom DeLay or Jerry Falwell? We're talking about Baker. We're talking about people whose need for power and money is shocking, and they always put Jesus right up front. You know, they're anti-democratic. They actually don't like democracy because they believe that God should rule, not man. And as far as I'm concerned, they're what's wrong with this country.
Well, I suspect that Dr. Meyer shares your definition of the problem, but he has a slightly brighter view of the future. In fact, chapter 11 of his book is well. Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, you know, I have to. I'm a Christian minister holding forth in one of the most conservative places on earth, and I've built a church here over 20 years that is progressive and liberal. And I perform same-sex marriages. And
I've heard that such things existed. I just never. It's just, you can't seem to get into the media. The only, as you point out, we only see the angry father face of Christianity.
Well, of course,
I'm a person who constantly tries to belittle Christians as much as possible. But really, I should make the point that I'm only trying to belittle the Christians who think the culture of life is about abortion and not about feeding children already alive.
Well, of course. Of course. And you have to understand that the media responds to conflict, to anger, to threats. We're living in a soundbite world, and people who think critically and who use reason and logic, they just don't soundbite as well. So,
you also can't. They're not capable of having the courage that it takes to criticize the mainstream religion. And let's face it, 80% of us are you guys.
Well, I've criticized mainstream religion. I think the church has been hijacked in our time. That's what the book is about. I think that people have to wake up to the fact that it hasn't always been this way. One of the reasons I'm hopeful, besides I'm a minister, so I'm sort of professionally obligated to be hopeful, is that I've seen a time in this country when the right did not occupy this power. And since I know the country works better when they don't, it is up to the citizens to not make democracy into a spectator sport. They have to get up off their you-know-whats. They have to vote. They have to be informed. And they have to not keep their mouths shut. We simply can't be lied to anymore. I mean, it's really gotten to be sort of demonic. Everything coming out of this administration is either a lie or it's damage control.
And why is it that so many Christians choose to ignore that obvious reality? And we just have 20 seconds here,
okay. I think because they prefer living a sort of delusionary life. There's a lot of challenges in life. Things can be very scary. Life is uncertain. And if you get a strong father figure that tells you, God told me this is what we should do, there's a lot of comfort in that for a lot of people.
We'll continue in just a moment with Dr. Robin Meyer.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I don't know whether it could be called peace, but clearly something is at hand in Iraq. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. There have been several developments in the Iraq story. Number one, Saddam is about to hang. Don't know when. It's a big secret. But when a country strings up its own leader, the war's over, right? I mean, when the loser dies, the other side wins, right? A noose makes for pretty decisive regime change. Plus, Saddam has decided to exit as a peacemaker. In his farewell letter, he urges Iraqis to embrace brotherly coexistence and, quote, not to hate the people of the other countries that attacked us. Of course, then he writes, long live jihad and the mujahideen in their fight against the unjust nations. Which means, don't hate the foreigners, just kill them. Who knows? What I do know is that the new Iraqi political system is finally working its magic. Or, as one of Saddam's defense lawyers put it,
I think it will be the ignition of a full-scale war.
Yes. Coincidentally, President Bush has been meeting with his advisors today at the Crawford Ranch to discuss Iraq strategy. And what's interesting about this meeting is that it was officially labeled non-decisional. Non-decisional refers to a meeting where no decisions will be made, and it's caused some snickering among members of the press. However, my research indicates that this non-decisional approach represents a marked improvement from previous meetings on Iraq, which were decisional, but the decisions were mostly really bad. In fact, history may well record that the decision to stop deciding things was the president's finest hour. Now this.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too?
This is the...
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The healthcare system is broken.
That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong, Dr. Robin Myers. You can join us toll-free at 888-579-2540.
My name is Means Nothing, my age is needless. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was raised and brought up.
Yes, that's an old Bob Dylan song remade by an 80s San Francisco band called Wire Train. It's called God on Our Side. And Dylan there refers to his roots in the Midwest, an area where it is believed that God is on their side. And Dr. Robin Myers, this has now really become almost a nationalist mantra of this alleged Christian nation, that we are in this historic battle with Islam, and that we are Christian, and therefore we are right. And a number of points can be made here, but the one that's most significant to me is that Americans who embrace this appear to be completely oblivious to the fact that we are confronting religious fundamentalists of a slightly different stripe, but the character is not so different from our own fundamentalists.
No, it's frighteningly similar, and most Americans would be shocked to have that proved to them, but you could do it. Our particular brand of fundamentalism is at war with someone else's brand of fundamentalism. Each side believes God is on their side, and that really is a recipe for the end of the world. And I'm not, you know, being facetious. Fundamentalist thinking, it's my way or the highway, and you will convert to the way I think because God has ordered me to convert you one way or the other, and if you won't convert, I'll kill you, which is okay because you deserve to be dead anyway, is really a recipe for what Dr. King called the downward spiral that is violence. And we're on that path right now. We are unleashing so much bad karma, if I can use that term, and surely in the Bay Area that's a good word.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, you read about what just happened in with the Marines killing all of those innocent civilians. War is such a horrible thing, and in many Arab countries, revenge is practiced as a fine art so that for every death there is the seed planted for eventual vengeance, and it simply grows exponentially. Now, what we've done in Iraq will go down in history as one of the great tragedies, one of the most immoral actions this country has committed since the Vietnam War. We did it in the name of God, of course, but then all you got to do is study history, Peter. We're always doing things in the name of God. We really have economic and national security interests, but that sounds rather grubby. So we say, really, it's a manifest destiny that we're operating under. That's, of course, how we got this country to begin with. There were some occupants here, but we said, you know, God expects us to live here and for you to move over. So this is a sickness. I mean, this is where religion goes bad and has always gone bad.
In the introduction to your book, referring to America's religious fundamentalists, you say, not all Republicans are fundamentalists, but virtually all fundamentalists are Republicans.
Right. There are some old-time sort of moderate GOP, grand old party people like John Danforth and the late Barry Goldwater and people who were simply fiscal conservatives and sort of socially tolerant. They didn't want the government involved in people's personal lives and in their religious lives, and they believed in the separation of church and state. We could use some of those people back. The old Republican Party looks liberal by comparison to today's sort of theocratic Christian right Republicans. Those people are scary for the reasons we were just discussing. They're right. They repute to know what God wants for all of us. And there is no negotiating. It's not that I have an idea and I think it's right, but I'm not going to force it on you. It's that you must convert to my way of thinking, because that's how a fundamentalist thinks.
Mm-hmm. Did you read this creed as it's been described from President Ahmadinejad to President Bush, the 18-page letter?
I have not read it, mm-hmm. No.
Because in it, I have not read the entire thing, but the excerpts I read showed that he was trying to essentially persuade our president using Christian principles.
Well, that, of course, is exactly what I'm trying to do in the book. The idea is that the president claims to be a Christian while simultaneously doing everything a Christian would not do. And I'm not talking here about doctrine. Do you believe in the virgin birth, or do you believe that Jesus coming back? We've always disagreed about doctrinal things. I'm talking about what's at the heart of the gospel, which is compassion, kindness, forgiveness, a God who feels our pain and expects us to love one another. You know, we're commanded to love our enemies and pray for them, not taunt them, not say we'll bring them back dead or alive. We're supposed to look out for the next generation, for our children, as if they are really more important even than we are, not pile a mountain of debt upon their heads, which Jesus talked about. Anything we did to harm children would be like a great millstone hung around our necks, and we should be drowned in the depths of the sea. The environment, which we are wrecking, I mean, this is the issue that we ought to be able to agree on in a bipartisan way. We're not going to survive on this planet if we don't change our ways. And here we have a president who's an oil man from Texas, whose very livelihood and the livelihood of all his friends depends upon sticking with a disastrous petroleum-based energy policy. So that's what we've got. And Americans can say, well, you know, if I were an oil man, I'd love these high oil prices too. But Bush has got to be the president of all the people. And he's also the commander-in-chief of the world's most powerful military. And that's going to take a very special person who's very virtuous.
Well, Bush admitted he only represents the haves and the have-mores.
Yes, I know. And he also crawled around under his desk and said, now, where are those weapons of mass destruction? And if that is not pathetic, it's just like if I had a son or daughter in the military and the president had said, bring them on, had taunted the insurgency, I would have wanted to jump through the TV screen and strangle the man. I don't know how the parents of the brave men and women in uniform in this country can tolerate listening to a commander-in-chief who has none of the virtues of a great leader.
Now, I have some of those same temptations, Dr. Myers, but as a man of the cloth, and you reference Jimmy Swaggart in here,
I have to
be careful.
How I felt, not what I was going to do. But I, you know, there's a difference between anger, and I talk about this in the book, between anger that is oriented toward vengeance. If this person hurt me, I'm going to hurt this person back. And what the Bible, the whole prophetic tradition in the Bible calls righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. We ought to be indignant over the things that are happening in this country because, in fact, we are preventing human beings from having the lives that they deserve to have. And if Katrina, the response to Hurricane Katrina, did not clear it up for people, then I don't know what will.
Dave from the Pinnacles, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show and say hello to Dr. Robin Myers.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having Dr. Myers on. Dr. Myers, my question probably won't interest very many people in the audience, but I read a lot about psychology and really the psychology of religion. And what I'm interested in is what is your opinion of all these Protestant denominations signing on to this new NIV, the new international version of the Bible? Now, I've looked through it, and I have seen some glaring changes, and I'm just wondering what your opinion is.
Well, I don't know exactly which of you. You're talking about their preference for that new international version and thinking that's the only version that should be used? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just wondering about the changes, that some of the glare, like I noticed in you were talking about this strong father figure and the strong patriarchal psychological presence, and I noticed that in fact, the first time I opened the new Bible, I that's the first thing I noticed, and I'll just give you a quick example. Jesus is led in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And in all the other versions of the Bible, Jesus says, well, if you say I am, or if they say I am, but in this new Bible, Jesus makes the answer in the affirmative, where he says, yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be the more macho Jesus.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm referring to. And I'm wondering if you notice this as why is this happening?
Well, because you have a community that wants to shape the message of Jesus in the way that fits its political agenda, its lifestyle, its worldview. And so the last power grab would be to actually amend Scripture in such a way as to fulfill that understanding. And
amazing.
I don't put that past people at all. It happens all the time.
Well, and Dr. Myers, in the book, I believe there's a reference to your seminary training where you talk about how the Bible, of course, wasn't written in English, so there are a lot of issues with translations. But you basically say that anybody who takes the Bible literally, well, you finish that thought.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely absurd. We can't blame people for believing things that were wrong, but in first century Palestine, all diseases were caused by demon possession. And, the sun revolved around the earth, and there was a three-story universe. And women were clearly inferior second-class citizens, they were the possession of their fathers, actually. There's just, you can go on and on and on about the superstitions and the mythic practices, cultic practices of the Bible, and nobody, even fundamentalists, would say, well, no, we don't believe those things anymore. But we have picked and chosen the very texts which we want to transcend time and culture, and those are the strictures against homosexual activity and the things that already fit our political agendas. That's how we misuse the Bible, and the Bible is misused all the time because the passages are taken out of context.
We're going to take a break and continue with Dr. Robin Myers. More of your calls coming up in the next segment. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. It's a powerful book, and I hope you'll read it. Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. It's out in hardcover from a division of Wiley Publications. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Good day, sunshine. I'm walking on sunshine. Here comes the sun. In the sunshine of.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
We actually have two reports. We have reports of two separate accidents in roughly the same location. It's in Cashville, southbound Highway 1 at 156. Two separate accidents. Both of them have been cleared over to the right-hand shoulder, so CHP is on scene, taking a report, working on clearing them all the way out of there. SoCal San Jose Road, south of Olive Springs Road. We have a stalled pickup truck blocking the right-hand lane. Tow truck is en route to pick that up and clear it on out. Salinas Sanborn Road between Abbott Street and Highway 1. We have some construction going on. The eastbound lanes are closed for a paving project. project, so lanes are open for westbound travel only. This project should be completed sometime before the end of the year. This report is brought to you by Cost Plus World Market. Ring in the new year with big savings on sparkling wine at Cost Plus World Market. Try Domaine Chateau de Brut Blanc de Noir or Extra Dry, a trio of Napa Valley favorites for just $12.99 each. Drink responsibly. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
Collins Show. Let's see if we can make Dr. Robin Myers cry. Is it working, Dr. Myers?
Oh, it is. I love it. You know,
this is actually a choral version of America the Beautiful that appears on Neil Young's new anti-war CD called Living with War.
It's a fabulous album. In fact, Neil's going to bring us all back to the 60s in the best sense of the word, and that's what the book is about, too. The 60s wasn't just about the drug culture and sexual promiscuity. It was about caring about something more important than whether I'm having a good hair day or a bad hair day.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to go back there again because almost as many people voted to choose the next American idol as voted in the last election. And if that doesn't scare you to death, nothing will.
Well, and the fact that people have argued over the methods used to determine the voting, you know, legality on American Idol, they care more about that than what happened in Ohio in 2004.
That's very scary.
It drives me crazy.
And you know, Peter, let me something about the America the Beautiful. That was written by a Congregationalist, by the way, which is my tradition, by a woman named Catherine Lee Bates, and she wrote it from the top of Pikes Peak, Purple Mountains Majesty, the Fruited Plain. She was looking east toward Kansas, my native state, mm-hmm. and west toward the Continental Divide. But there's all kinds of lines in that beautiful song that are about exercising self-control. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. She talks about refining the gold that is America. There are a number of lines in it that say, power brings with it responsibility, and even religiosity brings with it the need to be humble. Jimmy Carter, whatever else you thought of him as a president, was a humble human being. And his book, the latest book, Our Endangered Values, which I taught to a Sunday school class here in the church, a wonderful book, echoes many of the same themes in my book, only he says it as a Southern Baptist, and I'm not a Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, all people of faith, I think evangelicals who are much more conservative than I am, have also had their gospel stolen. The Christian right is not to be identified simply with all believers who are conservative or more orthodox in their theology. I respect their theology as much as I hope they will respect mine. The difference is there's a small group of power-hungry people who use religious emotional sanction, but the hot-button issues like abortion and stem cell research and euthanasia and anything having to do with human sexuality to terrify people into thinking that Western civilization is falling apart, and the only way to stop that from happening is vote Republican, and then those Republicans get into office, and they don't care a thing about the religious issues they energize their base with. They cut taxes, they roll back environmental regulations, and they make sure they make a lot of money and their friends make a lot of money because that's their true religion.
Dr. Robin Myers with us here, and you're in good company. Maybe your publisher doesn't like the competition, but Rabbi Michael Lerner has a book out. He's been on our show. I actually tried to engineer a duet with the two of you because I thought it would be interesting, but his schedule's just too complicated. His book is The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Jim Wallace has a book out, God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It. You referenced Jimmy Carter's book. And there was a big conference in Washington last week of progressive people of faith.
Right, right. It was a wonderful opportunity. I didn't get to go because I was still teaching at the university here, so I had obligations. I couldn't go. but Michael Lerner's book, The Left Hand of God, and my book are sold together on Amazon as a package.
That's great.
So you can buy the two of them at a discount, and I have yet to meet Michael, but we have exchanged emails, and it's inevitable we'll get together. Because
well, you're coming to the Bay Area. You have an appearance at Cody's Bookstore in Berkeley, if it's still open. They're planning to close it, but
well,
July 8th.
Well, surely one of them. Aren't there two?
Yeah, there's one in San Francisco, too.
Okay.
So you'll be at Cody's on July 8th, and we'll let our listeners know specifics as we get closer. And if I can engineer a meeting with you and Rabbi Lerner, I'll do that.
That would be absolutely wonderful. I'm going to be at Cody's the evening of July the 8th, which is a Saturday evening, and then I'm preaching at one of the most liberal, one of the most progressive churches in America, First Congregational Church of Berkeley, the next morning, Sunday morning, July 9th. So if you people want to hear what a liberal from Oklahoma sounds like in the pulpit, they should get their going to church clothes on and come on down to First Church.
Well, I'll confess I haven't been to church in a while, but this might be the draw.
I would love to look out there and see you, Peter, although I'm not sure I'd know who you were, so you'd have to introduce yourself first.
It won't be too tough. Cheryl in Arcata, join us and say hello to Reverend Myers.
Hey, how are you doing, Reverend Myers?
Hi, I'm fine.
Great. Yeah, to me, this subject kind of runs deep for anybody that has some faith, as far as what the president has done, as far as taking religion and just using it for his political pulpit. And, I think he's acting very anti-Christ-like. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but it seems like he's taken some Old Testament and taken that to heart, and then he's gone, you know, straight into Armageddon. But he's not looking at really, you know, what the heart of why Jesus came here, and that's to... you know, basically, like you said, you know, look at, you know, compassion and taking care of the least of us. And while George Bush has been in office, we're looking at poverty just going through the roof and just nothing but lies coming out of his mouth. And
yeah. I don't think he's
so
the Antichrist.
It's really maddening
to smart enough to be the Antichrist. But he clearly has either misunderstood the gospel, or he simply misrepresents himself as being a student of the gospel or a disciple of Jesus. None of the dispositions that we associate with a follower of Jesus, that one becomes more humble, more compassionate, more kind, and especially with regard to the poor, more willing to help, to use whatever strength we have to help those who are weak. This is simply the opposite idea that the Bush administration puts in its tax policy, and it's in all of its actions are, one could argue, fundamentally unchristian.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most glaring point was what you had mentioned, and that was how he handled Katrina.
This image of him looking out the window of Air Force One, and it was a nice little photo op, and then he said, well, it looks terrible from up here. It must really be bad on the ground. If he's a man of compassion, if he's a follower of Christ, he should have been on the ground. He should have had his shirt sleeves rolled up, and he should have been doing something, handing out food, something, but not just having Air Force One drop down low and swoop over the area and have a photo op as if he's doing something by looking out the window. It's not. I don't really think it's that the president is intentionally mean. I just don't think he gets it. I don't think he understands poor people because he grew up in a family with money. He failed at every business venture he had and still had lots of money.
His mother proved that point in the days after Katrina.
That's right. Yes, by saying some horrible things, and they're in the book. All these evacuees have come to Texas, so it's really working out well for them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Reinhold Niebuhr, a great theologian from Union Seminary, said a lot of bad things are done by good people who don't know that they're not good. It's a wonderful thing to think about, because a person who believes that they are righteous and following God's edicts while doing things that really bring misery and harm to other people are dangerous people, and history is littered with those people.
Cheryl, you know, thanks for the call. I want to jump to Mike in Pebble Beach. Mike, you're on with Dr. Robin Myers.
Yes. I hope I'm not too far off topic, but I would think that the
It's difficult to expect much compassion from the extremists on the religious right, but I should think that if it's not compassion, then they would certainly be in favor of justice. And I guess the question I have is about justice. There are so many scandals, it's hard for me to keep track of them. But I heard a news report today that said the FBI could not conduct a thorough investigation of one of the scandals because they would have to deal with classified information. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah, they want to investigate the NSA, but the Defense Department won't give them clearances, therefore they won't be investigating. And likewise, the FCC has said that it won't be investigating the NSA spying or the telephone records data mining because they don't have clearances for security investigations either. Doctor?
Well, my question is really then, nobody in the news has kind of raised the issue of if the FBI is supposed to have responsibility for domestic events that take place,
mm-hmm.
what good are they if they cannot investigate a possible criminal activity?
All right, Dr. Myers, just 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Sure. What good is any organization working for the Bush administration when all the Bush administration expects of them is loyalty, not competence, not to do their job, not to defend the Constitution, but to be loyal to their agenda? That's really one of the characteristics of fascism. You silence all your critics. You expect loyalty from people, not competence, but loyalty. And then everyone keeps their secrets, the way it's done on corporate boards as well.
Yeah, Mike, that was a great question, and I think it's very much on topic. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. Myers, a pleasure to talk with you again. Best wishes with the book and the book tour.
Thank
Why
you.
The Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, Doctor, we'll see you on the West Coast in July.
I look forward to it.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about NSA spying and take...
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. CBS News has learned Saddam Hussein may be turned over to Iraqi authorities in Baghdad within 36 hours. And the Bush administration apparently believes the former dictator will be executed before the weekend is out. Here's CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
He is kept in a facility there in Camp Cropper. I know that's a U.S. facility. The execution site, which the Iraqis have used for other criminals and the like, is in the same area and not far away. But at some point in time, he will be physically handed over from U.S. guardianship to Iraqi guards.
CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston talked to a high-ranking Iraqi official today about security surrounding the execution.
The National Security Advisor said that the Iraqi government had been working in close concert with the U.S. government in terms of working out the details, but he also made clear that this is an Iraqi process, that the execution will be carried out on the Iraqi timetable. But he did say that the U.S. would be called on for possible logistical assistance and, of course, security assistance.
Saddam met today at his prison with his two half-brothers to say goodbye. President Bush has been meeting at his Texas ranch with his advisors to come up with a new Iraq policy. He says they need more time. He's not expected to announce the strategy until after the new year. There's another winter storm causing headaches in Colorado.
We love Denver. We just don't like blizzards.
Already dozens of flights have been canceled, and Denver's still digging out from last week's blizzard. Mayor John Hickenlooper says city crews are working as hard as they can.
These guys have been out there. Many of these guys have been working 12 hours on, 12 hours off at the wheel of heavy equipment without rest. A lot of them have worked I mean, at this point, we're talking 84 hours in 6 days. That is Herculean.
18 inches of new snow could fall on the city overnight. The North Carolina bar has filed ethics charges against Durham County DA Mike Nifong over his handling of the Duke LaCrosse rape case. This after the rape charges were dropped, but kidnapping and sexual offense allegations remain. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen on how this may affect the outcome.
This does put pressure on Michael Nifong to get out of the case, to recuse himself, to somehow basically give up the case. Technically, that would not end the case. Another prosecutor could take it up, but it's hard to imagine another prosecutor putting their necks on the line to get involved in this controversial case.
Godfather of Soul returned to the stage at the Apollo Theater today, and thousands of James Brown fans filed past his gold coffin.
It was great. He had a blue suit on, silver shoes. They had the James Brown music playing in the background. It was fantastic. We danced down the aisle.
Legendary R&B artist died on Christmas morning at the age of 73. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 9 points. The Nasdaq was lower by 5. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne. Safe, good drivers like Vern here, who switched to Progressive Direct last year, saved hundreds of dollars. So, Vern, what did you do with the savings?
I made my car even safer.
How?
Linked a PA system to my blinker here and...
Okay, good times. Progressive rewards good drivers with great savings. You can use those savings to do things like Vern here. Or not. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
Coffee?
Thanks.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and French vanilla, mocha, and hazelnut. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Mmm. I'm ready for takeoff. Smell that luscious vanilla air. Wow, I'm good. I could do this on one ski. I am on one ski. Shimmering vanilla moguls beckon. I see gold medals in...
Miss, please, sit down. The captain has turned on the seatbelt sign.
Oh, sure. Right.
New Splenda, flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at vanillaflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
Financial markets will be closed and a national day of mourning declared Tuesday in honor of former President Gerald Ford. There will be a service at the National Cathedral that day. The state funeral will take place Saturday, but things begin in California.
This is Steve Futterman in Palm Desert. Rehearsals are taking place here today in preparation for tomorrow's church ceremonies honoring Mr. Ford. At the church, where the Fords have worshipped for many years, military honor guards have been marching in the parking lot practicing their formations. Inside the church, a military band has been rehearsing Hail to the Chief. The six-day salute, which will begin here in California, will also go through Washington and end in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Mr. Ford's hometown.
The government says domestic violence rates are dropping sharply, in fact. What's known as intimate partner violence, down more than 50% from 1993 to 2004. Experts say they aren't clear why. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hello, I'm George. Every year about this time, my wife gets concerned about my rowdy and crazy behavior. I can't help it. Happy Honda Days gets me all giggly and rambunctious. Hurry to your Honda dealer today and get an awesome deal on the 8-passenger Pilot, the ultra-functional Element, or the innovative Ridgeline. Yeah, baby. Happy Honda Days. It's going off, dude. Seriously.
Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda, flavor blends for coffee and hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
A yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh,
Margo?
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda, flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
We have a malfunction at the junction here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peter B. Collins, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. some of my fabulous music is supposed to be playing right now, but there's some kind of a glitch in my system, so I'm going to have to fix it at the next break. We are live and on the air, unscripted, unrehearsed, as usual, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. Coming up next hour, Marcy Winograd is going to join us again. She was the unsuccessful Democratic challenger to Jane Harman in the Democratic primary on June 6th, and she's going to join us today because she wrote a powerful letter to California's Senator Barbara Boxer regarding Boxer's plan to go to Connecticut and campaign for Senator Joe Lieberman, the embattled incumbent, nominally a Democrat. And there was a great broadcast debate between Ned Lamont, the progressive challenger, and Senator Lieberman that was widely broadcast yesterday. We'll be talking with Marcy Winograd in about an hour and see if there's a way that we can persuade Senator Boxer to change her plans about campaigning in Connecticut this summer. Also on the program today, the man who developed the concept shock and awe is a little shocked and not so awed at the way it has been used. Harlan Ullman has written a new book called America's Promise Restored. It is a sharp critique of our government, including the current administration, and it has some powerful prescriptions on how we can change things for the future. Our weekly visit with California's budget chair in the State Assembly, John Laird, he'll be with us. We're going to talk about the prison system in California. Governor Schwarzenegger acknowledging the crisis, calling a special session of the legislature, and we'll be talking about those issues with the Assemblyman. Also, Brad Friedman, our go-to guy on election issues, he'll be joining us as usual in our final hour here today. We're going to talk about the hand count that has been requested in the disputed election in San Diego. That's California District 50. Brian Bilbray was named the winner. The vote tally the day after the election, about 4,700. Ultimately, they said it was about 7,000. But as Brad has been telling us, and he alerted the media, even Lou Dobbs picked up on it, there are serious security flaws in the process that was used in San Diego. And now a voter, interestingly enough, a Republican voter who supports the man who won, has called for this hand count. So we'll get the lowdown on that from Brad. And also, we're hoping for a live report on the conflicted and now contested election for president of Mexico, which apparently has been wrapped up, not certified, but they have named Calderon, the conservative, the winner. And there are many concerns that this will produce street actions and general unrest in Mexico. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're always welcome to join us on the phone, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We originate in the San Francisco Bay Area from the secret Peter B. Collins studio location, and we have maximum capacity today. Two gentlemen who we have talked to on this program before are in the San Francisco area for a special event tonight that we'll tell you about. Dar Jamail is a journalist who has made trips to Iraq and writes, important and rather potent pieces about our ongoing illegal occupation of that country. And you can find his work at darjamailiraq.com. We'll spell that for you in a little while. Dar, nice to see you face-to-face.
Thanks, Peter. Likewise.
Nice to have you in the Bay Area, too. And we'll tell people about this event that you and our next guest are participating in San Francisco tonight. Mark Manning went to Fallujah and embedded himself with the citizens who live there. And he produced the powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire. He surfed up the coast from Santa Barbara today to join us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Good to be here. Thanks.
Nice to see you both. Well, let me just toss this out first and foremost before we get into the topics that I want to discuss. Let me ask each of you just to mention for a moment what you think is of greatest concern regarding our occupation of Iraq at the present juncture. Dar, you first.
Well, I think for me that hasn't changed. The greatest concern is what the occupation is doing to the life of the ordinary Iraqi, where right now infrastructure is completely devastated. The average house has far less than 3 hours of electricity per day. Potable water is in short supply. The health system is almost completely destroyed. Unemployment is rampant, and the security situation, that's probably the thing I need to say the least about, that it's just absolutely horrendous to live in Baghdad, and now more people are trying to leave. Anyone that can is trying to leave the country. There's over 1 million people displaced within their own country, which is something that Mark can talk about at length as well. But really, just average life for the Iraqi people now is a thing of the past.
What about the freedom? What about this fledgling democracy that Bush has thrust upon them?
Well, it's, you know, that's why I have job security, because as long as these lies keep coming out of the Bush administration, I've always got stuff to write about. It's needless to say, as you well know, it's absolute lies, total hogwash, because this occupation, the invasion and occupation, have done nothing but bring death and suffering to the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm. Mark Mann?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the most important story that's happening in Iraq right now is just the immense suffering of the Iraqi people as a direct result of our policy there. The lack of care of our administration's policy in Iraq for the welfare of the human beings in Iraq is widespread, it's rampant, and it's having a devastating effect on the civilians in Iraq. And I think that's a story that has to get out. It's not getting out to the American people. The level of suffering of the Iraqis is blacked out here, and we have a duty and a responsibility, I think, as American citizens to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing that could happen right now, is the stories of the Iraqi people getting to the American people.
Well, and you as an independent filmmaker, Mark, and you as a journalist, Dar, you have to be chagrined that your overpaid counterparts in the corporate media are essentially rewriting press releases in the air-conditioned green zone. And it's not a total slap at them. It's not safe or, wise in many cases for them to resume a traditional role of a beat reporter and go out and find the news. But the bottom line is that the American public is getting a very sanitized version of the war. And a piece you wrote recently about the spinmeister, a guy named Snow, Colonel Jeffrey Snow, he seems to be well aware of the doublespeak that he's offering. Because on the one hand, he has to accurately reflect the total number of Iraqis who were killed yesterday, kidnapped, found beheaded in the Tigris. And on the other hand, he has to spin for his government.
Right. And this is an individual in the U.S. military basically speaking on behalf of the U.S. military, trying to paint once again a happy face on the disaster that the occupation is, and even admitting to journalists that he is, well, this does sound like doublespeak, and it may well be, but basically, even though attacks are up against my personal unit, they're not quite as effective as the attacks have been in the past. So this kind of thing coming out to where really it's basically impossible for them to take this catastrophic situation and paint it in a different color, and they continue to try and continually shoot themselves in the foot in so doing.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Manning, when you first released Caught in the Crossfire, your documentary, you came on the program, and I was so impressed with you, I asked you back just a few days later. We don't usually do that. But you really offered some ahas, and one that has stuck with me is that you related that in Fallujah, during the assault in the fall of 2004, that you were hunkered down there with Iraqis, and at one point you told a little story about you were there with a family, and you asked about Zarqawi, and a father pointed at his toddler son and said, oh, that's Zarqawi. Talk a little bit about the mythology that was created around this man and what you sense to be the truth about him.
Yeah, it was an interesting phenomenon when I got into Fallujah, and Zarqawi supposedly had taken over Fallujah. And then I found that the Fallujians didn't know anything about Zarqawi, had never seen him, never heard of him. And they were telling me that this was a tool of the American machine, that they create this myth, they create this villain, and then they put him in places that they want to go into. So when I went into a city that supposedly has been taken over by Zarqawi, and the people there had said they'd never seen him, he'd never been there, it was a pretty eye-opening experience for me. It was a joke for them. And when I was actually in Fallujah, in the city itself, I witnessed some of that when the American policymakers announced that Zarqawi had returned to Fallujah after the siege. It was a premise for them to come in and start raiding homes again. And they weren't looking for Zarqawi. They were doing detentions. And as people should know, in Iraq, detentions are done without any due process of law. You kick open the door, you take who you want, you don't charge anybody, you hold them without charge. There's no trial, and a lot of times you don't see your family members again.
Mm-hmm. And, Dar, you have some interesting reporting on Zarqawi and the difference between between his real role and the one attributed to him by the Bush administration. And you quote, I believe, an economist named Napoleoni, who is in Iraq, and described that he wasn't in control of the Sunni resistance. He was in control of a very small group of jihadists, predominantly foreign fighters. He was extremely unpopular among the other factions of Sunni resistance fighters. Some of the members of resistance even tried two times to remove him because he was a negative political influence. She went on to say, this is a key element. The Iraqi resistance would never follow a foreigner as a leader. Yet Bush has repeatedly suggested that Zarqawi wanted to be the next Saddam Hussein, the ruthless dictator of Iraq. There's no basis for that whatsoever.
There isn't. And Loretta Napoleoni is an Italian journalist who's she's an economist also, who's written for many of the leading financial publications, and she's written two books about the financing of terrorism and one on the resistance in Iraq, and is one of the foremost authorities on this topic. And she's the one who said, who basically I quoted on that, and also said, made it very clear that A. Zarqawi never ever has been inside of Fallujah. The resistance group in Iraq don't like him, didn't like him. And even in the talk that she gave recently at a conference that we both attended in Sevilla, Spain, she said that it's very clear, there was very concrete information that the multinational forces, i.e. occupation forces in Iraq, were given and fed information by someone in a terrorist organization inside of Iraq to have Zarqawi killed, that they simply didn't want him there. And certainly the Iraqi resistance had nothing to do with him and didn't want anything to do with him. And it needs to be made very, very clear that this myth that Zarqawi was in charge of the Iraqi resistance is total hogwash. The BBC's reported it. Many of the, of course, right-wing broadcasting centers here in the U.S. have reported it. But to say that this man was in charge of any part of the Iraqi resistance is just a flat, blatant lie.
We'll pick up as we continue after a break. Dar Jamail just spoke. Mark Manning is with us, too, in the studio. They are speaking tonight at 7 p.m. at the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco. That's at 2789 24th Street in the Potrero Hill area between York and Hampshire Street. And they're with us for this entire hour. So if you have a question or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Well, the earlier accidents have been cleared, but keep your eyes open in Marina, northbound 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. Vehicles actually swerving to avoid a large piece of plastic debris in the roadway there. So, again, it's northbound 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. Check in the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, stalling accident-free. You're going to see a bit of sluggish traffic, though. Southbound Highway 1, it's brake lights between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25 is sluggish out of Gilroy into Hollister. And also, you're going to see some slow traffic eastbound 129 between Watsonville and Aromas. Eastbound 183 is sluggish between Castroville and Salinas. This report is brought to you by Mobile Clean 5000 Motor Oil. Get your engine ready for winter with 5,000 miles of guaranteed protection only from Mobile Clean 5000 Motor Oil. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired. Darling, you could pass time, entertain.
Yes, there they are, the All Bleep Singers. With our thanks to the Federal Communications Commission for making this broadcast safe enough for you to listen to today. I'm Peter B. Collins. In the studio with me, Dar Jamail and Mark Manning. Both have been to Iraq and have brought back very powerful messages. Dar Jamail writes at truthout.org, and he has his own website at darjamailiraq.com, and it's J-A-M-A-I-L. DarJamailIraq.com. And Mark Manning produced Caught in the Crossfire, and that is a powerful documentary that really gave us a perspective on the siege of Fallujah from the point of view of its former residents, or I guess some of them are still there, Mark?
Some of them have come back, yeah.
Yeah. And if you want more information on that and you can't attend the event in San Francisco tonight, we understand, you can go to conceptionmedia.net. conceptionmedia.net. And we'll repeat that information for you again a little bit later in the hour. Now, gentlemen, just before the break, we were talking about the extent to which al-Zarqawi had been mythologized. And, Dar, you've also written that the fact that we killed him has been trumpeted in the Western media as a turning point number 942. For the wishful thinkers of the Project for a New American Century, for example. But, in fact, Al-Qaeda has dispatched an Egyptian, a trusted aide of al-Zawahiri, who we suspect is much more of a loyal lieutenant than Zarqawi ever was.
Right, and that part seems to be true, but really, again, talking with this at length just last week with Loretta Napoleoni, who's an expert on this topic of financing terrorism and these groups that are operating in Iraq. And I should add that this is, we're talking about, even according to the U.S. military, less than 6% of all the attacks being launched against the United States and Iraq are coming from these foreign terrorist groups. But it is clear that this individual is a more trusted person within al-Qaeda, but it also should be noted that, again, it's not an Iraqi man. So, again, the odds of him getting along with members of the actual Iraqi resistance is very, very low. In fact, I wouldn't count on it at all.
What's interesting, too, is that his name is al-Masri, and there is a man with the same surname, a German citizen, who was rendered, as we call it, the extraordinary rendition. He was picked up in Macedonia. I believe he was shipped to Afghanistan, where he claims he was tortured. And then after they finally accepted that he was not a terrorist and possibly, you know, had mixed him up with this new al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, they just dropped him back off on the road in Macedonia where they picked him up. And inconveniently, he went public with his charges while Condoleezza Rice was doing the Ricepalooza torture tour of Europe last fall, reassuring our And, of course, at the same time, the Italian government went public with the issues related to a snatch on the streets of Milan. And, well, the U.S. just keeps on lying about that stuff. Mark Manning, what's your take on the Zarqawi situation and this new al-Masri fellow? Do you have anything to add on that?
Just that, you know, if Zarqawi was who our administration said he was, and not just a propaganda ploy to pull out of the box when you need some help in your polls, then why kill him? He wasn't surrounded by any kind of a force. If he really was the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, and he wasn't surrounded by a force, you wouldn't want to grab him as an intelligence asset. So killing him pretty much states the fact that he was just a propaganda tool and they needed to pull out something for Bush's poll ratings.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious.
And, Dar, you recently wrote, again quoting Ms. Napoleoni, the Italian journalist economist, the majority of the suicide missions are carried out by non-Iraqis. There are lots of people coming from the Gulf. There's a jihadist website that lists the names of the martyrs, and you can see that they come from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and from the Emirates. This is the majority of the suicide missions. Some people even come from Syria and Jordan, but the vast majority come from the Gulf.
Right, and I think that's an important thing to point out because we have the Bush administration that continues to saber-rattle at places like Syria and Iran, quit stop, you know, like Rumsfeld saying, Syria, you must quit these or stop these terrorists coming through your soil into Iraq and helping the resistance, and the same type of rhetoric waged against Iran. And the reality is it's the supposed friends of the United States, places like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, where they're coming from.
That's Dar Jamil along with Mark Manning. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll go to the phones, 888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
For whatever legal advice you need,
go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift. Now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending a military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can be.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. 33 minutes past the hour. We're talking about talking with two people who know a lot about the situation in Iraq. Filmmaker Mark Manning, whose powerful documentary Caught in the Crossfire is available on the web at conceptionmedia.net. And Dar Jamail, the journalist who has been on our program on a regular basis. You can find his work at truthout.org or at his website, darjamailiraq.com. Now, speaking of unbelievable, I don't know how much you followed the debate in the United States Senate, where John Kerry is finally showing some courage and leadership. Not enough for me, but I have to acknowledge that it's better than it used to be. And he put out a resolution to set a date certain to withdraw from Iraq. First time got 6 votes, and that was with a 12/31/06 deadline. Then came back a week later, almost, and got 13 votes for a resolution that said July 1st, 2007 as the pullout date. Then there was the non-binding, undated Levin resolution that said, it's time for a change and hope the White House will get the message without actually formally setting a withdrawal date. And it's interesting because 39 senators supported that resolution. But the debate that occurred was so jaundiced because it was dominated by the Republicans, who were busy using the market-tested cut-and-run phrase as often as possible, questioning the patriotism of those who would suggest that it's time for us to get out of Iraq. And then, of course, 3 days later, we have generals coming on television on Sunday, General Casey, saying, I think we might be able to pull some troops out this year. So there's kind of a whiplash going on in terms of U.S. policy. And, Mark, you were asking before we went on the air today about Rick Santorum's contribution to that debate, which was to momentarily claim that he had found, or somebody had found, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, a report that was immediately discredited. So my point is that we have a huge disconnect, and these are non-parallel universes where the debate in Washington is so detached from what's really going on the ground in Iraq.
And Mark, you said that citizens of Fallujah asked you to communicate some key points, some messages to the American people. What are they?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal experience having lived with these people. Now, I went back into the city with them after their city had been destroyed. I mean, completely destroyed by America, really. There's no other way to say it. And their family members killed, their lives destroyed. It was horrific. And they wanted me to bring the message of what happened to them back to the American people. They knew, for one, that we weren't being told the truth here. And unbelievably to me at the time, that the level of compassion, they believed in the American people. And they believed that if they knew, if the American people knew what was actually happening to the people in Iraq, we wouldn't support it. So they had an unbelievable amount of trust and really respect for the American people. I have to say that that's not going to last forever. You know, now I'm in contact with them on really pretty much a daily basis. And they're beginning now to ask me, okay, where are the American people? You know, but for our country, after 9/11, to respond with such hatred, really, against a whole race of people, to come to Fallujah and to find much worse damage than 9/11, and to find the people there saying, hey, we believe in the American people. Go tell them what's happening. They're our brothers and sisters. And that's the reason I'm really motivated to continue this work, because I see an obvious way to peace, and it's the connection between the American people and the Iraqi people. And when you're talking about these government debates, these are men and women that have no family in the military. They've never been on the ground in Iraq, unless they've been in the green zone, in some air-conditioned military base. They don't have any connection with the Iraqi people. They haven't seen the suffering. They don't know what they're talking about. Yet they're the ones that are making these decisions. So I think it is up to the American people to stand up and demand the truth out of Iraq, so we can start to make informed decisions and to know that the people there are waiting for us to do that.
Dar Jamil?
Yeah, I can't really think of a more powerful message other than to see the suffering in Iraq and have these people basically requesting personally for people like Mark and myself to come back here and please just tell people what's really happening so that they can force their government to do the right thing. They're acutely aware of the fact that our government here is kind of a joke at this point as far as really being representative of the people, and they're acutely aware too, like so many people here in the anti-war movement, that drastic changes are on the table. It's time for people to start taking some risks and doing some things to really force the government to abide by the will, which the vast majority of the people here now do favor, withdrawal from Iraq. And it's time for people to start getting active and doing what they can to try to make that happen.
If you'd like to talk with our guests, they're here for the rest of this hour. 831-899-5792 is a number on the Central Coast, a local call. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Alice in Humboldt, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
Dar and Mark.
Hello.
I hear all the time, even from good Democrats, things like, we're just going to have to let the Iraqis know that they are going to have to take over their own security, that we can't be there forever. They say this like the people want us there. I believe this is most misleading.
Okay. Mark, you first.
Well, you know, it's a lot of our administration uses terminology trying to portray the Iraqi people's children. It's very arrogant. It's condescending. I believe it's racist. I think part of the reason there's no security in Iraq, or the only reason, is because we destroyed it. And the Iraqi people say, if you just leave, we'll fix it. So I think we've proven we're incompetent to solve the problem of Iraq, the problem that we created. And it's time for us to admit that and let the Iraqi people decide what they want. I think they've spoken in these polls. They want us to leave.
Dar?
Well, and I would answer that by seconding what Mark said and adding that I've talked with Iraqi policemen directly who have said, you know, we do want to take control of the security situation, but the Americans won't let us. They won't give us the weapons we need. They won't give us the equipment we need. They're not paying us enough. They come in and occupy our various police stations anytime they want, which shatters any legitimacy that they may have in the neighborhoods where they're trying to work. So they simply lack the respect they need to carry out their jobs as security officers because their country is being occupied.
Alice, anything you want to add?
Oh, that was good. I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call. Now, in addition to what you described, Dar, we have this ongoing string of reports of U.S. troops committing atrocities. We have a rape case now. We have the Haditha case, Hamdaniya. Add to that Abu Ghraib. And we have now a very tragic legacy that really rivals Saddam Hussein in many respects. And, you know, Bush still talks about killing fields and some of the gross things attributed to Saddam, which I don't diminish in any respect. But we really have, in any competitive sense, outpaced what he attempted to do.
Right. I mean, maybe the 944th or 945th turning point will be yet another Saddam mass grave, you know, turning up another 30 bodies or something. But if we just look, if we're going to use their rhetoric, if we just look at the number of people killed, Saddam Hussein, the most often quoted figure is that he killed around 300,000 people during his reign as dictator. So in 30 years, he killed 300,000 people. Well, in less than 4 years of occupation, the United States has killed over 100,000 Iraqis, according to the Lancet report, a report published in the most prestigious British medical journal around. And that number is now grossly out of date. It's probably more like 200,000 or possibly as high as already 300,000 dead Iraqis. So we've done that in one-tenth the time that it took Saddam Hussein to do it. So if this administration is going to use Saddam Hussein as a yardstick, well, they're not even measuring up to Saddam Hussein by their own yardstick. We talk about Abu Ghraib. They're doing worse things in Abu Ghraib than Saddam Hussein did, raping people there by U.S. soldiers. I really can't think of a more culturally humiliating thing to have broadcast around the Middle East than that. I mean, rape is, of course, an atrocity in any culture. But over there especially, I really can't underestimate the fact how big of a negative impact that's having right now.
Well, and one of the oversight committees run by Congressman Davis of Virginia issued a subpoena last Friday to Donald Rumsfeld to produce documents and information related to alleged events at Abu Ghraib, where family members of detainees were brought in and either threatened or tortured in front of the detainee in order to get that person to talk. And it's been 3 months since they asked for the information, and it's been silence from the Pentagon. So Republicans actually got up the nerve on a day before a long weekend when nobody was paying attention to issue a subpoena. And these are just more grisly details that will be coming forward. Mark, are there any other issues related to the U.S. occupation that might not be front and center? We know about all these recent reports of misdeeds by U.S. troops. We know about a lot of the failed reconstruction efforts and the corruption of the contractors that were handpicked, often on a no-bid basis. But is there anything else that you want to mention that's kind of escaped notice?
Yeah, sometimes the obvious does. And I think from day one, we said that we don't count Iraqi deaths. That was before we even really went in there. And really what that translates to is Iraqi deaths don't count. And when we started the war with shock and awe, you know, where was the reporting of civilian deaths? It just wasn't an issue.
And well, you forget, that was a video game. There are actually no casualties in a video game.
It was watched like a video game. And from the beginning of that war, we did not consider civilians. And I think just the disrespect for the lives of Iraqis, it was from day one, and it was a product of this administration's callousness and disrespect for human life. And it the direct result is all these things that are happening now. Of course, when you put troops on three tours of duty in a place where the civilians hate you, things are going to happen. And the individual troops should be prosecuted, but the military shouldn't be held accountable. This is a direct result of our leader, George Bush, and his incapacity, I think, to lead this nation, and it's coming clean in Iraq and this total destruction of a country.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk more with these gentlemen, Mark Manning and Dar Jamail. If you have a question or comment, this is your chance to get through. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. And as we continue, I want to get their thoughts on the new hand-picked prime minister of Iraq. Is he a U.S. puppet, or will he display some independence? We'll talk about al-Maliki coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Vehicle accident in Pacific Grove. It's Holman Highway 68 east of Morse Drive. Both those vehicles have been cleared over to the right-hand shoulder, so CHP is en route to take a report there. We have some construction going on. Marin County Highway 1 from 1 mile north of the Limekiln Creek Bridge to 1 mile south of Lucia. We have one lane will actually be closed and a temporary traffic signal will be in place while Caltrans builds a new retaining wall there. Highway 17 check in both directions through Santa Cruz Mound, stall and accident-free. You're going to see some sluggish traffic both northbound and southbound 101, heavy into and out of Salinas, and northbound 101 also slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff there. This report is brought to you by your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealers. There's never been a better time to buy that Mercedes on your wish list. Through January 2nd, get special offers on Mercedes, select C, E, and M class models. Visit your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealer. I'm Diane with traffic, KRXA 540.
540, think for yourself.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We continue with Dar Jamail and Mark Manning live here in my secret bunker studio. And they are appearing tonight, it's not a secret, at 7 p.m. at the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco. That's at 2789 24th Street between York and Hampshire Street. We call that Potrero Hill. I'll be talking about The Road to Fallujah. And will you also be screening the doc, Caught in the Crossfire?
Right, we'll be screening that.
Okay. And $10 admission if you can afford it. And you can also donate online at conceptionmedia.net. And that's where you can get more information about Mark Manning's documentary, Caught in the Crossfire. We're joined now by John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air with Peter B., Dar, and Mark.
Peter, I want to congratulate your two guests because their work is cut out for them. I just want to say I don't have their faith in the American people. I think in the last 6 months, what little I had left, I've pretty much lost. It's, if you compare the anti-war movement now with what we had in Vietnam, and I was old enough to well remember that, that was a powerful, vital, influential, often frustrated, but no denying its existence and its power movement that there isn't any of that I can see right now, except for a few dedicated individuals. There's just, and it's that That's the public's failure. The anti-war movement has to come out of public discontent. There just isn't enough to fuel the movement.
Well, I understand your point, and I appreciate that you do put some of the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of our fellow citizens. Because, John, you and I have found the information. Dar writes, you publish three times a week?
Usually two or three.
Two or three. His information is readily available. So far, they have not tried to stop you from showing your documentary under the state secret privilege, but that could happen. And my point is that the information is available. And people choose to focus on American Idol and, Paris Hilton's navel ring or latest boyfriend, what she's driving, who she hit. And, we have a public that really is not living up to its civic responsibilities. Only 30% of voters turned out for the California primary. And you may be tired of hearing me say this, but I couldn't believe it. Only 3.5% showed up for the contested Senate primary in Virginia. And if that's, the level of crisis felt by the average American, we're in really bad shape.
Well, also regarding torture, which you would think, because for me, that just says we're really different as a society and especially as a government over anything in the past, because I do not remember any event, all of Vietnam, all those 10, 12, whatever years you want to delineate that conflict to. I don't remember the subject even coming up, let alone an issue of Guantanamo and all these other gulags or whatever we've gotten in the east of the former Iron Curtain or whatever is going on besides, because obviously there must be a lot more than Guantanamo, and that's bad enough. That should have inflamed the public because of the threat to them, to the threat to our rights. There's something radically wrong with our leadership that would even consider doing these things.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that the Supreme Court ruled against the president and declared Guantanamo and the terms of detention there illegal. But he's unscathed. He's still in office.
And
the Democrats haven't tried to censure him over this even. They are simply so cowed by this administration that it's tragic for all of us. John, thanks for the call today.
Okay,
I really appreciate
you.
It. Next, I want to turn to your sense of this new Prime Minister, al-Maliki. There was, of course, this protracted debate inside the newly formed Iraqi government. It took them 4 months, and finally they kicked out Jafari. And am I right, Jafari?
Jafari. Right.
Okay, thank you. And this guy kind of materialized. We don't think he came from Langley, the CIA headquarters. But is he a full-fledged American puppet, or does he have some rope on his marionette strings? He has at least spoken up occasionally about a vague desire for the U.S. to leave, and he's been a little more explicit about the rape case and some of the other soldier atrocities.
Right. On this recent issue, particularly the rape case by the U.S. soldier against the young Iraqi woman, he's been outspoken, I think, primarily because there's so much outrage in Iraq that if he doesn't take a strong position on that, he'll lose what's left of his credibility. But if we're going to talk about Maliki, we need to first start with the fact that he was inserted as prime minister in replace of Jafari, who was pushed out after Rice and Jack Straw from the UK went to Baghdad and basically pushed him out so that Maliki could come in.
That's democracy in action. I love it.
Right. So much for the spreading democracy in Iraq, where they'll have elections, but if the U.S. and the U.K. don't like the person that government then brings in as prime minister, i.e. Jafari, then he's going to be replaced with a man who won't talk about timetables for withdrawal and a man who will be open to the privatization of Iraq's oil.
Yesterday, in a debate in Connecticut, Senator Lieberman, who's under serious attack politically for his future in the Senate, Ned Lamont is the progressive challenger. Lieberman repeated a Bush talking point that two-thirds of the Iraqi police and military are trained now and ready for action. Now, that number has been fluctuating wildly from 3% to, recent claims by Bush and cronies in the 50 to 60% range. But, Dar, talk about the composition of the police force and the so-called army and what it really means, because we talk about them standing up so that we can stand down, but they're going to be standing up for militias, for religious groups, for ethnic factions in the country, not for any sense of a unity government or the kind of culture that we project here in America.
That's right. And first, I want to preface this with saying that whether it's 50% or two-thirds that the people in the Bush administration are claiming is the number of the Iraqi police or Iraqi security that's actually able to stand up on their own at this point, I think they're just pulling those figures from their backside. Because even generals in the U.S. military are saying that they have less than one Iraqi army battalion capable of fighting on its own at this point. And it's primarily because exactly what you said, that we have a Iraqi police and military that are comprised primarily of militia members and heavily, heavily infiltrated by the Iraqi resistance. One of the women that's going to be at our event tonight, Nadia McCaffrey, who was recently on the front page of San Francisco Chronicle and CNN and go on down the line of major media outlets, because she lost her son in Iraq, and she recently found out that when he was initially claimed to have been killed by a sniper in Iraq by the U.S. military, it turns out he was killed by some of these Iraqi security forces that he was supposedly training, and he was trying to train them. And that is what we're looking at now when we talk about the Iraqi security forces. They're not loyal to the Iraqi government. They're not certainly not loyal to the American government. They're loyal to whatever militia put them in or whatever armed resistance group is paying their paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to add there, Mark?
No, I think you guys covered that one pretty well.
Okay, good. Just about a minute remaining. I want to remind people the Road to Fallujah is an event that Dar Jamil and Mark Manning will be speaking at tonight. It's 7 p.m., the Brava Theater Center in San Francisco, 2789 24th Street, and you are invited to attend. And again, conceptionmedia.net is where you can get more information on Mark Manning's documentary, Caught in the Crossfire, Dar Jamil Iraq. I'm going to spell that one more time, D-A-H-R-J-A-M. AILIraq.com is the website where you can read his work. Well, gentlemen, I just want to thank you for the work that you do. It means a lot to us to be able to call you up, get you on the air, and share your views and the reporting that you've done. Dar, I want to wish you the best on your summer vacation at Club Med in Syria. You're leaving on Tuesday?
I am.
All right. Well, email us. We don't have a budget for those long international satellite phone calls, but do stay in touch with us, and I hope you have a safe trip there and come back with more stories to tell us.
Will do. Thanks very much.
And, Mark, is there another film in your future?
Yeah, we're actually in production on a documentary film called The Road to Fallujah. We'll be talking about that tonight. You can read about that on our site. And also a film called American Voices, which deals with that man from Carmel Valley was talking about, the American people and their... It's time.
Mark Manning, Dar Jamil, thank you very much. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS. CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Saddam Hussein could be in Iraqi custody and executed before the weekend is out. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details from the Pentagon.
Saddam Hussein is still in American custody, but a U.S. military officer says that the U.S. military plans to turn him over to the Iraqis within the next 36 hours. The same officer says that he expects the Iraqis will execute him before the start of a religious holiday on Sunday, which marks the conclusion of the annual pilgrimage to Mecca.
The Bush administration also reportedly believes the execution could happen before the weekend is out. President Bush is meeting at his Crawford Ranch with his advisors to come up with a new Iraq strategy, but he indicated today they haven't made any decisions.
Got more consultation to do. Until I talk to the country about the plan, obviously we'll continue to work with the Iraqi government.
It's been a frustrating couple of weeks for travelers at Denver's International Airport, and now another blizzard is on the way, threatening to ground airline passengers again. CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiea is there.
This second storm, with expected snowfall up to 2 feet, is moving in while much of Colorado is still catching its breath from last week's blizzard. Store shelves still need restocking, and streets need clearing. Roads closed last week, and so did the airport.
Remember, this airport was built to unclog the western skies. Well, it needs a little Drano down the street.
Airline industry analyst Michael Boyd says a lack of planning was part of the reason thousands of passengers became stranded at Denver International Airport last week. Another factor, the airlines are doing such good business these days that there are few seats available on a new flight when one is canceled.
It's one of the nation's 10 busiest airports. Seven New Orleans police officers have been indicted in the shooting of two men in a case that could further damage that department's reputation. Here's reporter Dave Cohen.
Police shot and killed the suspects in the chaotic aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. The defense attorney says they acted within the law, but the district attorney says they shot New Orleans citizens down as if they were rabid dogs. The grand jury agreed with the DA and handed down indictments, including first-degree murder charges.
The two men, one mentally retarded, were shot on a bridge connecting two flooded neighborhoods. He is wearing a blue suit.